Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast, where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill here in sunny Long Beach, California, joined by my good pal, Mr. Scott Fliegelman there in Boulder, Colorado. What is up, Mr. Fleegs?
Having a good day, Mike. We had some awesome open play this morning. Got eight folks on the clinic court, and we went over all they need to know about lobs.
Man, I was playing with someone the other day, this gentleman, Ryan Hurley. He probably hit 6 out of 7 perfect lobs, like baseline touching, really annoying when you're on the other team kind of lobs, but nailed it.
It's a thing these days.
I know. I need to add that to my repertoire. I don't really have that as much. Today, we're going to do something we did a couple of episodes ago. Oddly, you and I both saw the same point on Georgia Johnson's Instagram. And I think I had written something to you like, oh, this would be a really good point to break down. And you were like, oh, I thought the same thing.
I'd already started making a couple of notes.
Yeah. So we decided to do a point breakdown again. And how we're going to do this is we're going to do our best, as always, to visually describe with audio only what the point is doing. And then on our Instagram page, we will show you the actual video itself. And also on our brand new YouTube channel, I will post this as well. So if you guys like these, give us some feedback. Let us know on Instagram or picklehelp.com. You can write me as well. Let us know if you find these things useful, and we can do more point breakdowns as we go. So the players involved on this point are Millen Rain, otherwise known as Millie, who's playing with Paris Todd on the far side of the court. On the closer side of the court is Georgia Johnson on the left-hand side and Hurricane Tyra Black on the right-hand side. It is a fantastic point, and it's got a lot of interesting stuff that we thought was noteworthy. To start, Georgia Johnson is the server from the left-hand side of the court. She's serving to Paris Todd. Serve is fine. Serves to Paris's backhand.
Which Paris is pretty good.
Paris's backhand is very good. Paris returns deep to the middle to Georgia's forehand. And then Georgia has a lovely third shot drop to Paris's corner.
And what I loved about Georgia's drop is just so effortless. I'm going to mention her grip a few times. It is a forehand dominant grip. It's probably an Eastern forehand grip, slightly semi-Western, which means the paddle face is squared down when she makes contact. So she makes topspin whenever she swings on the forehand side. And she just finds the perfect apex somewhere over the kitchen line on her side and lets the ball effortlessly land at Paris's feet, either on the kitchen line or maybe even just a little bit beyond it. It doesn't matter because that ball is dropping so well. You don't get a better third shot than this one.
It was great. And so Paris then takes that drop, goes cross court with her backhand, targeting Georgia's right foot. She hits a great shot because Georgia takes from her shoelaces and kind of pops the ball up to Millie, who's directly across from her.
Millie has an opportunity here to end the rally. We wouldn't even be having this conversation if Millie hits the shot that, ironically, she's going to hit about 20 shots from now. She goes cross court, and Tyra Black has plenty of time to get herself in a defensive position to defend this. Had she instigated, had she gone straight ahead at Georgia, Georgia commits heavily to her forehand. Because of her forehand grip, that's the direction that she holds her paddle when she's being attacked. Anything to Georgia's left ends this rally. Anything to Georgia's left shoulder, Georgia probably pops up. Georgia's covering middle with her forehand, and Millie had the opportunity to go behind her, doesn't now. Let's stay tuned and see if she does this later.
Yeah, she could have targeted Georgia's left hip, and that would have been all she wrote. She just would not have had enough time to go from that forehand to the backhand side. And that ball was attackable. It was a very good attackable ball. Well, Millie rips it. She really rips it And the reason why I think she got away with it is because had she targeted somewhere around Tyra's left hip or left shoulder, Tyra would have been able to turn on it and just rip it right at Paris. But because Millie hits a very low ball at Tyra's right foot, it kept them in the point. And that's, I think, probably worth mentioning, don't you think?
Definitely. She should not have gotten away with the cross-court speed up. A lot of our 4-0 plus players listening right now make this mistake with the cross-court speed up, but don't get it as low as Millie did, and they don't get away with it. So my preference would be that Millie went straight ahead of Georgia, but I certainly credited her with keeping the ball low in Tyra's direction.
So Tyra takes that ball and hits kind of a high, somewhat decent drop to Paris. And the reason why I say it's somewhat decent is that Paris is able to tee off on it for a couple of reasons. One, it's a little bit high. Obviously, that is a very attackable ball when it's that high. But the other thing I think Paris does really well on this first ball is she really optimizes her space at the kitchen line. She takes this ball with a big reach and she fires it to the back corner of the court. So she's basically hitting it to Tyra's right-hand side, but very deep. Tyra manages to dig the ball out again and now hits an overhead towards the middle. And the part I think about this, Scott, I think one of my favorite parts in this whole rally is that Paris then completely whiffs on the overhead. I loved that because it makes everybody think, oh, these pros are actually like human beings. We've all whiffed on an overhead. In this case, she whiffs on it and the ball bounces, but because it's pickleball, she's got enough time to react to it and hit a kind of high drop to try to, you know, get back into the point again.
I love that you identified Paris's footwork on the previous shot that set her up for this overhead. Her footwork is fantastic. She clears her body out of the way. She balances on one foot. You can tell she spends time on court with Simone Jargim, who has been doing this for years, counterbalancing so that she can lean in, but not also fall into the kitchen. It's beautiful and athletic and graceful. And she gets the sitter back from Tyra and should have ended the rally. And it brings us right back to our last point breakdown, which had a handful of lobs. And we talked about the role of the two players and how to avoid a collision. My assessment is that Paris is a little concerned about Millie's proximity and she doesn't want to hit her. So I feel like the solution here is either for Paris to make a loud early mine call that Millie gets out of the way, or Millie can even preempt that by saying you, and Paris will know that she has the space and she can execute her beautiful overhead. Otherwise, I just feel like she was a little concerned and didn't want to hit Millie, but then kept her wits about her. She knew the ball would bounce a bit and was able to get the ball back in play.
So just like most rec partnerships, Scott, these guys don't play together often. If they haven't established an alpha, like we talked about on previous shows, they've got to make these calls as much as humanly possible. So there's no confusion in the middle. The riddle in the middle is a real thing, and it's a real thing at the highest levels of this particular sport. You and I both loved the next thing that happens. So Paris recovers and hits this drop. Georgia recognizes it. Remember, Georgia's on the left-hand side and has a hammer of a forehand. Georgia recognizes that this ball is kind of high and kind of short, but she's all the way in the back sort of transition zone. She absolutely attacks this ball by leaping up towards the kitchen line and taking this thing out of the air so that she can really get some heat on it. But I think by the time she got there, it had dropped a little lower than she'd wanted.
Yeah, well said, Mike. I think she does exactly the right thing and may have even been surprised that the ball sat up a little bit. And I think, and here's another opportunity that this rally could have ended. I've been across the net from Georgia when she gets a forehand like this, and that ball doesn't usually come back. So yet another missed opportunity, but her footwork, her anticipation, reading the rally, and just pouncing up to the non-volley zone was fantastic, top notch.
And then we have kind of a short firefight, quick little back and forth a couple of times. And then at that 15th shot, do you want to describe, Scott, what we see in the video?
Yeah, this is one of those times when the ball, it's kind of landing by the tee in the middle of the kitchen. Georgia leans right. She's got a potent weapon weapon in her forehand, and she decides to instigate or a light attack. Normally, we would say not to do this in Paris's direction because she's cross-court, has extra time to get ready for it, and the angles aren't favorable for Georgia. But from the tee, nobody's cross-court. They're equidistant from her, and that's often a good time to go toward the inside shoulder of Paris. Unfortunately, there are two players on the court who use primarily a forehand shield. Paris is one of them. So she's not fazed by this, gets her forehand on the attack, and is able to lightly reset back in Tyra's direction.
Well, what's interesting about that, Scott, is that Georgia's ball kind of floats from Paris's right shoulder directly to her face. And Paris does sort of that like Hoka sumo wrestler squat and lollipops the ball. So she's got her paddle face basically straight up and down vertical. And she's almost doing a little mini overhead, but it's head height, which is really interesting because you and I just worked on this at Boulder Pickleball last week. It's that lollipop thing that Colin Johns does sometimes when you're favoring this forehand counter and it goes up around your head. You've got to get low and get the paddle face squared up. And then she goes right back to Hurricane Tyra Black with this. I thought that was a pretty interesting move while she was floating to her left.
Yeah, and you nailed it because the key to the forehand shield is soft knees. You have to be able to drop. You have to be able to get low. If she stays fully upright here, the angle of her paddle is not going to be favorable. Colin Johns does this well, but Dekel Barr at 6'4 actually does a great job with this also. Paris is maybe 5'5 or so, so it's not as critical, but boy, does she have soft knees, gets down low under this ball, and it is a mini overhead. She doesn't get it right in the center of the paddle, but it's an effective counter.
I'm curious about this next ball, Scott, which once Paris goes back to Tyra, she rips the ball back at Millie. So we're seeing another cross-court instigation, which Millie handles very well, and Paris is just sitting on the forehand waiting for something in the middle. Now, could Tyra have gone behind Paris there? Would that have been the move versus going cross-court to Millie towards her feet?
I think the answer is yes, and I think a few months from now, that's exactly where Tyra will go with that. Hitting the ball hard cross-court at players as good as Millie and Paris isn't going to work out. So you've got to go at the player who has the lesser amount of time to get ready for it. Again, Paris is sitting forehand. Anything to her left is going to be really difficult to defend.
So interestingly, Tyra gets a ball that's kind of a high mid lob that she ends up having to take a backhand overhead, which obviously doesn't have a lot of juice on it. But Paris has backed up in the transition zone for preparation of some sort of hard shot, which I find really interesting here because Tyra doesn't get a ton on it. And then Paris, noticing that, decides to rip a two-handed backhand drive down the line towards Tyra's forehand, which then Tyra slices a cross-court, very low volley back to Millie.
And it's only now occurring to me, Michael, that in watching this, Georgia has not hit a lot of balls in this rally. And it's very likely that Paris and Millie have decided to isolate Tyra. That may have led to Paris deciding to drive this ball at Tyra, because dropping to her straight ahead, there's not a whole lot of room in front of her. They just seem to be isolating Tyra, keep hitting the ball at Tyra, and see how far that can get them. Like I mentioned earlier, I feel like a few months from now, I mean, Tyra is still converting her pro-level tennis game. I don't love this slice-style forehand volley. With a plastic ball, it doesn't hit and skid all that much. It sort of sits up just fine for Millie. I would rather do what the other players on the court are doing, which is imparting topspin and side spin, and frequently that results in a miss hit from your opponent on the other side. They just don't get it right squarely in the middle of the paddle, but also helps with some depth because this ball that Tyra slices doesn't get very deep. So look for that evolution in Tyra's game in the months ahead as well.
It's worth noting that Millie does a fantastic job of two or three drops under attack from Tyra because she just hit this slice forehand to her feet, and Millie does a lovely job dropping the ball right back, getting herself established on the kitchen line, and then Tyra attacks again, and Millie does another lovely job getting the ball right back to her. Now, the third attack is where things got a little wonky.
Yeah, I love the way Millie continues to stay focused on dropping the ball at her opponent's feet And in my mind, whether they decided to isolate Tyra or Millie just knows that the cross-court angle is more favorable, she gets some level of success with that. And eventually, the penultimate shot in the rally, Tyra gets a ball up a little bit. Millie collapses on it and has the instigatable ball, very similar to what she had in the beginning of the rally. And I feel chooses the exact right shot of going to Georgia's left. Georgia flinches right, like she tends to do with her forehand dominant grip. And there's a ton of room to Georgia's left. But Millie, in my opinion, goes for the one shot winner. And I think she needs to be thinking setup shot, something that if Georgia gets a paddle on it, it's going to come back weak sauce and Millie can put the next ball away. That just stops you from putting this ball 3 feet long, which was the result. I love that she collapsed. I love that she stayed on the gas, but she didn't need to hit quite a home run. Here's one of those cases where a single or a double would have gotten the job done.
Well, this was a real misdirect of a shot from her. I'm rewinding it and watching it. She gets the ball about knee high and she's using her forehand. So I think that Tyra and Georgia are expecting the ball to come back in the middle, and Millie's even looking in the middle. So she kind of no looks behind Georgia with this ball, and maybe it was Tyra's spin. Somehow the ball comes off her paddle a little bit too wide. She's just outside Georgia's left shoulder with this ball, and it's just a little bit too wide because the ball's spinning and it's following and arcing to the right versus trying to stay in the court to the left. And I think that's where it went off the rails. But like you said, probably should have been like the first shot that she had a chance to hit. That could have ended the rally very early on.
Yeah, we talk a lot on the show about advanced knowledge of your opponents. If you have significant advanced knowledge, that's great. Otherwise, we're trying to pick up whatever we can in the 5 minutes that we're warming up with our opponents. Millie and Georgia are training partners. Georgia's had a little bit more success, but Millie's had some really good results too. Millie knows that Georgia flinches forehand first. Georgia's forehand is one of the most lethal in the game. All Millie needs to do is get this ball to Georgia's left and they win the rally.
Right.
You just don't need to overhit it. I love the no look. I love the deception. I love everything about it. It was very much the right shot selection. Just tone it down a little bit. And that circles back to where I left off with you last week. You have the ability for tremendous offense, but this would be one of these cases to take a look at this very high level rally and figure out what mistakes we don't want to make here, whether it's in the opening salvo or here at the end.
She could have hit the same ball at 40% the pace that she hit it, and it would have been a winner, is what you're saying.
Darn straight.
And the deception is right out of the Scott Fliegelman playbook.
Well, that's one reason why I like it so much.
I know. Yeah. That's why I saw it. I was like, oh, I know this guy. I've been crossing this guy.
Georgia and Tyra give up. They expect they've lost the rally. It's only when they turn their heads around and see that it sailed long that they took a deep breath.
Right. And I think in a lot of cases, we've all watched that ball delicately drop into the court and just gone, ugh. Again, perfectly placed. And man, when you get on the rec court with someone who is tuned to going behind a player. In fact, when we first started playing, when I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago, the now infamous Heidi Gurley here on this show went behind me like the first 3 points. And I said, all right, clearly this is a thing. I'm going to have to start waiting on this ball and my partner's going to have to come in because I have to adjust to that. I think that's something that's important. If you're playing mixed, you're playing regular, whatever. If you find that someone is really good at that kind of inside out or deceptive or going behind you, you have to make a strategic adjustment because you got to be ready for that. And if I need to sit on my backhand knowing that this ball is going to come, well, then I'm going to need my partner to be a little more centered and ready for that counter in the middle if I can't be there.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think we're queuing up a future show here where we talk about the chess game. There's advanced knowledge of our opponent's strategies and then what's happening on the playing surface. I've mentioned on the show my occasional jousting with Dave Weinbach, who's so good at anticipating where I'm going to hit the ball before I even know where I'm going to hit the ball. But once I've caught up to what's happening, I'm going to try and anticipate where he's going to flow and go where he's not. And that's the fun of pickleball.
Yeah, I love that. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed that point breakdown. We will definitely do this again if it's something you guys are interested in. And if you have any questions about this or anything we talked about, again, picklehelp.com. Thank you for sharing everything on the socials for us. You guys go have some fun on the court. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.